I took a much-needed vacation, and I went hunting. And I got to spend, 6 days with my brother, who just retired from the Army. 20 years of bang, bang, shoot 'em up, put 'em back together again. He's done. And I thought it would be appropriate to spend that time with him. And spent many hours with him. Not only that, the hours sitting in a tree stand, but hours sitting around afterwards as we're trying to thaw our toes out. I thought, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. It is still the middle of November, and single digits are not appropriate. But it was a great, great time. I cannot tell you how blessed and refreshed I am to have done that. And I did get a deer. I took a doe. And I will tell you, single-digit temperatures, even though he sent me pictures of huge bucks that were roaming the area, when they're not showing up and the does are, you take what you can get and you get inside where it's warm. I told him, I said, you know what? There's one thing being on this earth in 44 years has taught me. If I can get out of the cold, do it. So as Pat always said, if it's brown, it's down. And it's down. He was a little surprised I took it. And I said, you don't understand. I can't handle another day of single digits. Because I was sitting in a valley where the sun didn't hit it until 11 o'clock. And then it was only there for about an hour and a half, if that. So it was extremely cold. But a couple weeks ago, I was doing some work for a friend and was checking some things out. And as I did, they have sheep and they have some goats. Today, obviously, we're going to talk about sheep and goats. Because the Lord started showing me some things about that, about the sheep and the goats. Now, they've got a mixture of them in this pasture field. And there's a few pens separating the sheep and the goats. And there's a pen that actually has sheep and goats in it. But as I walked into this field, I was amazed. You know, I had my phone on and I was playing some music. And all of a sudden, the goats just started coming to me. I just walked in and the goats are looking at me. They're not paying attention. They're following me. And as I sat there and I watched them, they were looking to me. They thought I was going to feed them. Personally, I don't like them. You like goats? More power to you. I hate them. If there's one thing, one animal on this earth I don't like, it's a goat. They're ugly. I'm sorry. See? That's Angela. See, oh, they're so cute. No, goats are ugly. They're just nasty, ugly. But anyhow, I don't like them. But as I watched them, God said, watch, pay attention to these sheep and the goats. And as I did, the goats wanted to follow me wherever they could. They'd go as far as the fence would allow them. I wasn't their shepherd. I didn't feed them. I didn't care for them. I don't like them. Remember that. But that didn't matter to them. They were going wherever they thought somebody was going to feed them. And he said, now pay attention to the sheep that was with them. He said, because I said, and we'll read it here in a little bit. He said, I said, my word, my sheep know my voice, and they'll only come to my voice. But that sheep followed those goats right up to me. For all they know, I could have been looking for dinner. They didn't know that. And he said, that's the way some sheep are in my church. Goats come in and they follow. They get to hanging out. And that's the reason why this one sheep was with those goats. It had been put there when it was young. It got to know those goats and they were buddies. And the shepherd personally did not want to listen to the bawling of that one sheep. And so she kept them with them. He said, but that's the way a lot of the church is. We got young sheep. They're around goats all the time. They haven't been taught to identify a goat. Well, it doesn't take much to go out in the field and see the difference between sheep and goats. And now, personally, they smell the same to me. I mean, maybe to a dog they smell different, but to me, they all stink. But we all stink. And he said, those people will follow anybody. They're legitimate sheep, and these are legitimate goats. But they will follow the goat because it's what they know. You know, and as we think about that, how God came down for us. David even said himself, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. A good shepherd will take his sheep and feed them. But goats come in. Goats want to wander. Goats cannot stay in one place. Now, I'm not going to go getting into all the characteristics of goats and sheep because a lot of them are similar. Sheep want to be rebellious. I mean, I never raised sheep. I'm sure Bob would probably. They want to do their own thing still, too. If there's a hole in the fence, they're going to find it and they're going to get out. But as Jesus was relating this to humans, a sheep can be trained. We remember this from Mary Had a Little Lamb and Little Bo Peep. They followed her. Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 10. And we are going to start in verse 1. These are the words of Christ. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You need to understand, back in that day, the sheepfold was basically a rock wall that was built up. The sheep could not climb over it. But all the shepherds would bring their sheep into that area and put them away for the night to protect them from the wolves and the lions and the bears. And Jesus said, anybody who comes through into that sheepfold any other way is nothing more than a thief. We have got people all over the world today sneaking into the church through every which way they can. They give deceitful messages. Paul put it, ear ticklers. Little messages that start lulling you to sleep and you can't think anymore. You're like, oh, this person can't be evil. This can't be bad. And what happens is they begin to deceive us into believing lies. I want to tell you one bit of truth, folks. There is about that much truth in every false religion. Every one of them has an ounce of truth. I don't care what it is. There is a little bit. And so what we're trying to do today is we're trying to take Hinduism and Buddhism and Confucianism and Islam and all this, and we're trying to bring it in and mix it with Christianity. You can't do that. While truth is truth, it's the rest of the garbage you got to worry about. You've heard me talk about chocolate chip cookies, haven't you? I love chocolate chip cookies. They're my favorite cookie. An Oreo rates right up there, but chocolate chip, you got chocolate chips, I'll eat chocolate chips all day long. And when she makes them, I usually do. But you can take a batch of chocolate chip cookies, and if it calls for 16 ounces of chocolate chips, and you say, you know what, I'm only going to put 15 ounces of chocolate chips in there and 1 ounce of dog poo. What do you think you're going to taste the most of? You ever stepped in it? All you got's a little bit on your shoe, and it stinks up the entire area. What do you think it's going to do to those chocolate chip cookies? That little bit of poo. It's going to ruin the truth. And there we have the problem. Meditation is great. What are you meditating on? Oh, I'm just sitting around. Hello? Meditating means thinking on something. Not sitting around twisted and contorted into some weird position your body is not supposed to be in. Yes, I'm knocking yoga. Start paying attention to what you're actually doing, folks. It's always been known to be part of Hindu meditation. But you know why we ignore that part of it? It's because some guy who just sold you a DVD, who's got the greatest exercise craze out there, is saying, don't worry about that part. This isn't about religion. Everything is about religion. Sorry. Every fight. Because you know what religion really is? It's what you believe. The president, I don't care if he claims to be Christian or Muslim. Don't really care. I have my leanings, but he does what he believes. Just as I do what I believe. Now, let's get back to the whole thief. And so Jesus said, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs up is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay? To him the doorkeeper opens. This is the key. There is a keeper at the door who recognizes that you are a bona fide shepherd of those sheep. And he will open the door. He is somebody who is paid to keep the door. You know, this is why I warn people about drugs and alcohol and even transcendental meditation. You dumb down the doorkeeper. Why do you think everybody, when they suddenly start smoking pot, they become the most enlightened person on the planet? My brother said he was in the Himalayas, and my nephew was playing a video game he just got, and they go up there, and there are these gurus sitting around, and this guy's acting, he's whacked out on a video game. And my brother said, that's exactly the way they are. Okay? He said, the reason that they're like that is they smoke heroin-laced marijuana all the time. People trip just on heroin. And these guys are up there smoking it all day. Well, this is all the great. You need to become enlightened, live on top of a mountain like me. You're a moron. I'm sorry, I will call a snake a snake. I believe in calling a spade and not a farm instrument. And the reason being, folks, is because, well, we say, well, the Dalai Lama said this. The Dalai Lama's going to hell. Why? Because he refuses to accept Jesus Christ. I don't care how much good Mahatma Gandhi did, he died and went to hell for rejecting Jesus. Well, he would have become a Christian, yeah. He judged people. He did the one thing Christ said we're not supposed to be doing, is judging each other. I like your Christ, but I don't like his followers. Well, that didn't make you any better. Get back up here. My Bible decided to change pages. And when he brings out, verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Most of you, if I call you, you will recognize. Well, maybe you won't. Sometimes voices change on the phone, but if you hear me hollering, you will say, hey, that voice sounds familiar. I hear that loudmouth every Sunday. You recognize my voice. When children are little, we still don't quite recognize their voice, because when children are little, their voices all sound the same. That's why you're in the store and you hear, hey, Dad, and you see five men turn around. When I was in boot camp, We were at the rifle range, and we were standing out front waiting our turn to go in. And there was a platoon that was standing out there. They had just ate. They were in our platoon. And one of our drill instructors walked up behind them, called them to attention, and gave them a right face. Their drill instructor was standing over there watching. And he said, "Is that right? You want to listen to another voice. You want to obey somebody else's voice." Those boys paid. I think they probably brought their dinner up over in the sand pit. They paid because they didn't recognize their instructor's voice. And we had them do it to us too. And there would be somebody who would flinch. But especially after that, we didn't budge. We were not going to pay that price. So we didn't fall. We knew the difference between each one of our drill instructors, and we knew if they were calling us. And that's what Jesus was saying. The sheep recognize their shepherd's voice. You're all part. You need to understand the sheepfold he's talking about is the entire body of Christ. And out of it, if I were to come to the door of that sheepfold and call you, you would know my voice and only you would come. Anybody else who comes is not my sheep. That's why I tell people, if this isn't where you're supposed to be, don't hang around. And I just want you to know, I don't believe in all the church shopping and hopping and bouncing around. The Holy Spirit is not schizophrenic. He will lead you and guide you if you ask. So many people, "I don't like this church. I don't like it." I don't like any church. There you go. Except the one God told me to pastor. Because I'm supposed to be here. Is this church perfect? Are you kidding me? We'll start at the top. Do I need to go there and we'll go down? No. No church is perfect. I always hear people, "I'm just looking for the perfect church." Well, when you do, leave, because it's no longer perfect. I'm going to go back to 4 again. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Last week you had an opportunity. Phil filled in for me. I haven't listened to the thing yet. He kept thanking me profusely, though, for coming back. No, I know he does a good job. He gets hard on himself sometimes, but he's a good man. But you see, different voice, right? He wasn't me. He can cover for me and fill in for me, but he's not me. I remember one time we actually had kind of a bit of a power struggle. And that's why I said, no more will I go on vacation over a weekend. Somebody, huh? No. It wasn't between me and Phil. Like I said, Phil's a good man. But one person decided to take too much upon themselves. I had given them X amount of authority, and they took X, Y, and Z. And became a problem. I gave Phil authority. He operated in the authority I gave him. So his voice became my voice. Now, I'll show you something here in a second. Let's go down now, jump down to verse 7. "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" All right, so now Jesus, he's called himself previously the good shepherd. But now he's saying, "I am the door that the sheep go through." So in other words, Jesus Christ. And in order to get into the sheepfold, you have to enter by Jesus Christ. You can't enter by Buddha, by Islam, or any other religion. Jesus Christ. There is only one way to eternal salvation. We all live forever. Let's keep that in mind. We all go on living forever, ever. It's either in heaven or in hell. And hell was not created for you. So if you end up there, it's not because God didn't try and God didn't love you. It's because you said, on you, God. I want to believe Buddha. I agree with peace. Let's live in peace. Let's try. The Bible even tells us as believers, when at all possible, live in peace with all people. So you know what that tells me? A lot of the garbage we've gotten ourselves into wasn't because of Christ. Well, you Christians, you came over on the Mayflower and you started killing Indians. The Pilgrims didn't kill anybody. They were pacifists. I heard one person die. you like this. They had a bunch of bullet holes down their trailer. Okay, am I starting to paint the picture? Trailer, bullet holes. The Amish did that. What? Yeah, they came by and they shot my place. Are you serious? You do realize they're pacifists. They will stand there and take a beating. They aren't going to do a drive-by in a buggy. But that's exactly what this person... Because, okay, you know, seriously, if you're falling for the whole Amish mafia thing, get real. It's a show. Vanilla Ice, really? Do you think a devout Amishman is going to let Vanilla Ice come in and design his log cabin? No. It don't happen this way. This is all TV. But we're falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, there's a mafia in the Amish. Yeah, I'm not saying there aren't sects that get a little crazy. We obviously know about the one up around Millersburg. Hey, we're going to go ahead and shave your beard and cut your hair for you. But they don't go around doing the stuff that people are claiming. Anyhow, I'm getting off track. So Jesus is the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Real sheep know the difference. And you got to understand, the voice now that he's talking about is not this natural voice that I'm speaking with. The voice he's talking about, my words. Jesus is the Word. When the Word lined up with what God had in their heart, the sheep instantly knew it. That is why these crowds followed him all over these hillsides, was because what he was saying is exactly what they thought God was. It wasn't what the scribes and the Pharisees were saying. It was what Jesus was saying. Because if you remember, I'm going to tell you this, there's only one group that Jesus ever came, and he even came close to judging them, and that's the religious. Even John the Baptist said, "You brood of vipers, you are of your father Satan." Now, come on, them's fighting words back in that day. Them's fighting words today. And he said, "Behold, an axe is already laid at the roots." In other words, you're going to be cut down. This tree will no longer survive. There is coming up out of the root of Jesse a new tree. He's going to provide life. Because what religion brings is death. Now, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Okay, here's a great thing, folks. I like this. They can come in and they can go out. In other words, you are free to move about and live. So many churches today want everything to be about the church. How do you tell others about Jesus if you never leave your compound? How can you tell others about Jesus if you never get outside of religion? well, God's going to bring them to me. No, he's not. He said, go and make disciples of all men. Not sit back in your easy chair, listen to Creflo, listen to Joyce, listen to whoever you like, and I'll bring people to your door. It don't happen that way. You got to get out in the marketplace. You got to get out there and do business. You got to get out there and buy cars. You got to buy TVs. You got to buy houses and groceries. I'm all for eating out of the garden, but guess what? That eventually comes to an end. And I'm not a big canner. I'll just tell you that right now. I grew up, we canned everything. I'm done with canning. It was a lot of hot work. We made jelly. We made grape juice. Berries this, berries that. Strawberry, peaches. You name it, we had it. And you know what? All I ever wanted was a Vlasic pickle. That's all I ever wanted. Nothing fancy. I don't care if it's got dill in the jar. I just wanted a Vlasic pickle. I like those. Anyhow. I've grown to like bread and butter pickles. Yeah, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came so that you could have abundant life now. Are you hearing me? That is now. We've turned this message into something, well, you'll have abundant life in heaven. He came that you may have life now. When the rich young ruler came to him and said, Lord, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Jesus said, go sell what you got, give it to the poor, come back and follow me. And he walked away because he had riches, the Bible says. I think a better interpretation of that would be the riches had him. They possessed him. He didn't possess them. Because when you possess something, it's yours to do with it as you wish. That's why I tell people, you give me a gift, it is now mine. I cut all strings. I've had people give me stuff, well, here's a string. If there's a string, it's not mine. You ever do that with a cat? You throw the little fuzzy, mousy-looking thing over there and it's got a string on it and the cat pounces and you give it a little jerk. It doesn't belong to the cat. Even when the cat has hold of it, you can pull it. You control the cat and the gift. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What does religion do? Kills, steals, and it destroys. Well, you aren't of my faith, so you aren't of my family. You know, I got a cousin. He's a total atheist, total humanist. But I love him, and I'm praying for him that he will come to know Jesus Christ. I still talk to him on Facebook because I'll be honest with you, I didn't know he existed until 2001. We had never met. Why? Because of family politics. We ain't talking to that side of the family no more. She's not the one that did it. My uncle's the one that messed up. She's like, I've had it. But this is what happens when we idolize people in our family. Oh, no, he walks on water. My dad finally broke down and told my sisters, he said, listen, you idolize your older brothers. I was there with them. I know what they did. And it wasn't nice. And their wives had every right to leave. Because let me tell you a few things of what they did to each other and why they didn't speak ever. Came a point they quit talking to each other. But religion comes in and it steals. It steals your freedom. Your right to choose. I don't believe, you know, my children have to make their own choice to follow Jesus Christ. I will raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. But when it boils down to it, It's their decision. They have to choose to do right or do wrong. And there's been times I know they've chose wrong. Because they usually come back like this. They know when it backfired. They thought they were going to get away with something. I was the same way. I couldn't do something. I'll be honest with you. God told on me. My mom would be praying and he'd go tell her. Like, how do you know that? I'm praying for you. God, you got to quit narking, man. But he only did it so that she would pray. And I will tell you, I'm here now because she prayed. Now, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Now, I need you to understand what he's talking about. Okay, he is the good shepherd. If you're not called as a pastor, you have absolutely no business being a pastor. You are a hireling. And when the wolf comes, the Bible said, Jesus just taught us, that when the wolf comes, he realizes he doesn't stand a chance. Why? Because he doesn't have authority. He's a hireling. He was doing it for the money. I've known several people like this. When the going got tough, they got going. They split. And I've told people, I've had several young men, Pat, what do you think about, you know, I feel that the calling. What calling are you feeling? There's a difference between pastoring and preaching. There's an evangelist, and I will not cross over into his field. Because I don't want evangelists crossing over into the pastoral field. I'm sorry, I think we got too much of that going on. Why? Because, well, if the pastor's out evangelizing, who's back with the sheep? Is it Eliab, David's older brother? He said, where are the sheep? Now, we've looked at that always from the judgmental view. And he was accusing David of something stupid. David was a shepherd at heart. That's why God said he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because he laid down his life against the lion. He laid down his life against the bear. But Eliab, his big brother, had a valid question. Who did you leave the sheep with? Not everybody will do as you did, David. Not everybody cares about them. The Bible even says, Jesus is talking about just before his return, he said that the hirelings, the workers, the supervisors that he left over the fields, the vineyards, will begin to get lazy and they'll start beating the other workers. In other words, the shepherds that think that they're called will start abusing the sheep. They'll start beating the sheep. They'll start not taking care of the sheep. They won't lay their life down. They were just there for a job. Now, like I said, I'd like to say this is one of the easiest jobs I've had, but I'd lie. It's not. And I don't wish anybody to do this unless God has called them to do it. If God has called you to do it, guess what? He has equipped you to do it. Not everybody could lead Israel across that river into Jericho. Well, Moses could. No, he couldn't have. He proved it. It took Joshua. The Bible says Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. He fit it. He was created for it. He was designed for it. Hirelings are not. They look the part, they smell the part, they can even talk the part. But when the wolf comes to the door, they're running out the back. Instead of pulling up their rod and saying, all right, Mr. Wolf, we got to have a conversation. You aren't crossing that threshold. There was a difference between a rod and a staff. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my sheep. In other words, true pastors, when they speak, the sheep hear it. They know the voice of God coming through. You can know the difference between one who just wants to come in and fleece the flock. Oh, we're going to come in and shear you, we're going to milk you, and then we're going to go with all your goods. They know the difference. They see the difference. Those are shepherds. They are true shepherds. I'm not here, actually, shouldn't. It was never my intention to be talking about pastors. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't even going this way. It was actually about sheep and goats still. The difference is there. But we have to understand more about what he was talking about here. And I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. At this particular moment that Jesus was speaking, he was saying, there are other sheep besides the house of Israel. And they will come. And they will become one. That's why the Bible says there in Christ, there is now neither Jew nor Gentile, nor Greek, male nor female. Don't go trying to twist the message. Don't go adding anything to it or take anything away from it. Knock it off. It's stinking thinking is what it is, and you're just trying to control people. Jesus said, I got sheep, they aren't here. But guess what? They're going to bring their own little flavor. But I'm going to work on them. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about judgment in the end. He said, when I return, I will gather my own unto me as a shepherd gathers his sheep. And at this point, he will separate the goats from them. The one he will say, depart, I never knew you. The others he will say, enter into your rest. Those he said, enter into your rest, good and faithful servants. And yes, I'm combining. He said, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And he said, Lord, when did we do this to you? And he said, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. They did it because of good character. Good works do not create good character. Good character creates or produces good works. Okay? You can have somebody and they're doing good things, what seems to be good, but at their heart, they are rotten. They are stinking. They are not righteous. Those were the goats. And he looked at those on his, actually it was on his left or right, got to go in the left. He said, depart. I never knew you. And I say, Lord, what do you mean? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we hold worldwide crusades? Didn't we have healing lines a mile long? And he would say, depart, I never knew you. For I was hungry, and you never fed me. I was thirsty, and you never gave me drink. I was destitute and naked, and you turned your back. They sound similar, don't they? Sheep and goats. They sound a lot alike. To my untrained nose, they smell a lot alike. Their poo looks a lot alike. But goats are actually dangerous in the body of Christ. The reason being, they'll get in, they'll make you think that everything's fine, that you don't need to do any changing. We're responsible for implementing what God tells us to change. And it's God's job, not yours, to change people. I rejoiced the day my wife gave up on changing me, because now God could do it. And I think I've changed a lot. It's not our job to change other people. It's our job to love them. That's what the sheep hear. That's what the sheep understand and they know. Goats, they don't care. As long as you're giving them a little food and you let them in the barn sometimes, they're good. But goats can never be trusted. I don't know, something happened a couple years back and something changed in me. I remember, you know, Tom even remembers, we were out fishing. And these old Canadian geese bedded down over by this tree. It was the best spot for the fish. We couldn't get to it because that stupid goose. A couple years ago, I was down at the State Lake, and sure enough, there's a bottleneck right down there on the trail. Yeah, dried out. And there's a bottleneck down there on the trail. And guess what? If you walk the park, you know exactly where I'm talking, because I think they nest there every year. There's geese. And I see people running in fear. It's a goose. Walk by it. What's it going to do? Bite you? It's got sandpaper for teeth. We are terrified at these things. I can understand a goat. But even then, I mean, if it's small enough, you can control it. Them big boar goats. I saw one running down the road one day. He was all rutted up, neck swollen up. I thought, okay, that's one I've seen on a Slayer album or one of those demonic albums. He's all bulked up and got big horns. I mean, he looked like a deer. I understand those. But you see, the shepherd, it's his job to do what I'm doing. It's to get up here, tell you, clean up your life. Examine why you do something or you don't do something. For us to sit here and say, well, I wish all people would do that. Not all people are called to do that. Not all my bodily organs are called to breathe. Thank God. Because somewhere along the line, I need a heart. I got to have those kidneys. That liver's got a purpose. Every part has its own job. Problem is, we've gotten the body of Christ and we look across and say, well, they need to be doing this. And we're all part of the same body. Let's remember this. So, let's put this in a little more perspective. Here's the doorway. The knowledge of Christ. We get the knowledge of who Christ is and what he really is. We accept Christ. Now, everything in here has got different jobs, but it's all for one goal. The sheepfold is the entire body of Christ, not just a locked-in building. It's the entire body of Christ. We've got our own purposes, our own goals. Bless God, you want to get somebody, you want to get a salvation crusade, you get the Baptist going in there. But we need freedom. If people aren't given the right to choose, God gave Adam and Eve the right to choose. He gave them free will. Why? Because he loves us. And he says, I want a being that loves me because it wants to. We aren't robots. Thank God, right? I mean, there's times I wish I had a metal head when something usually bounces off of it or I walk into something. But ultimately, He just wants us to live our lives. He wants us to love others. And in that, folks, I promise you, you will find every bit of ministry you ever needed. Oh, but Pastor, I still think I need to start a 501c3 ministry. Really? You can't go out and do good without the IRS recognizing you. The only reason we did it for here is because it's highly recommended for churches. And I realize some of you don't use your offerings as tax deductions. That's your call. As long as we can still do it in this country, I'm taking it. Because bless God, they're giving enough my money to abortions and a bunch of other causes I don't agree with. So if they're going to give me some of that back, I'm taking it. It's your call, not mine. I don't care. It's your money. But your life is your life. I can't control you. I can't make you do what you need to do. You already know what you need to do. You know why? Because your heart's convicting you. Your heart convicts you when you know you should be doing something else. Last week, I'm trying to think, it's been a long time since I've missed a Sunday. Anytime we took vacation, we usually hear and then we take out right after church. And my family could have gladly gone, but I didn't think it would be a good time for them because I was going to be hunting. I was going to shoot deer. But it was such a good thing for me, and I had absolutely no condemnation. I've had it before when I've thought about it. Oh, man, I got to do this. And it even tried to come in. I said, no. This is my job. When people take a vacation, do you go to work? No, you don't. If you do, you're stupid. I'm sorry. You missed the point of vacation. But last Sunday, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting in a tree stand with 10-degree temperatures. 9:30, I was out of the tree stand trying to thaw my toes out. 11 o'clock, I was taking a nap on the love seat, snoring up a storm, apparently, between me and the dog. They had to turn the TV up. Yeah. But you know, my heart did not condemn me. Why? Because I wasn't sinning. It's called restoration. I needed that. And thank you for letting me go. I know a lot of people, we don't want our pastor to go anywhere. Hey, how about letting the man recharge his batteries just a little bit? Because now I'm ready. But we're the sheep. And a pastor is a weird position to be in anyhow, because you're a sheep and you're a shepherd. I still have to love people. And my main priority is loving you and helping you to love others. And understand, it's not your job to criticize or judge them. It's not your job. It's your job to love them. That's just all there is to it. We keep trying to come up with all these other cockamamie messages on how to get into heaven, how to walk in righteousness. How about we just start walking in love and let Christ work righteousness in us and see where that goes? Because I promise you, that will carry us. Because if we're trying to force good works, I want you to do good works because you love the person. Because you truly love people. Not because, well, people see me. Let me get my picture on the front page of the newspaper. People see me doing this. How are you any different than any other person on the planet who's starting a charity in their name? You know, I won't even put this church ministry in my name. even though it's been highly recommended. I won't do it. It's not my ministry. This is God's. Let me tell you why they do it. Copyrights. Every message I've taught would be copyrighted. And people would have to pay me for them. I'm sorry, but this is free word. Who am I to charge you to hear the free word? And it's not my message. It's God's. It's just the place I've come to. I ain't saying that anybody who does charge you for a CD or whatever is evil. I'm just saying we won't. It won't happen here. This is at His Feet at His Feet Christian Center. That's that. It's not A. Woodell Ministries. Nope. We're a body. Because if it weren't for you, well, I'd be an awfully lonely pastor. Yeah, broke. You can talk faith all you want. There comes a point you got to rely on people. Just like an antique. Oh, this is worth $50,000. No, it's only worth what somebody's willing to pay. And if they're only willing to pay $2,000 for it, you got to settle for $2,000. I remember watching a house here in the county. It cost them $1 million to build it. Sold for $475,000. Because that was the highest bid. And he really didn't want it. He was just bidding on it to be bidding on it. And kind of, lo and behold, they said, we'll take it. I don't care if you do have $1 million mansion at. That's what we'll call it, a mansionette. Or a McMansion, whatever you want to call it. Anyhow, let's stand. And I do, as your pastor, I will say this. I do not say this to puff you up in pride or to try to make your head swell up in any means, but I will tell you, I cannot be any more proud of this body. 259 boxes. Is that what it is? Yeah, they're making 10 more. So 269 boxes. You need to understand, out of all the churches that have brought in boxes and individuals, the second highest take is the Cardington first grade. Cardington first grade. 108 boxes. That's the second. We were the top, which this is our thing. This is our thing. So I won't. But bless God. Thank you. Thank you for giving. That does my heart wonderful. Because, like I said, I've seen the areas where these boxes go into. And, you know, while Armansk, Ukraine seemed like a 25,000 people, you think, oh, it's got to be a bustling burg, but it was poor. And in the corner was just a box in his church. A church that they took whatever they could get. You know, in America, you'd never see a church like that because we're too prideful. Their carpet was made up of carpet tiles, not the same color or pattern. All the way up the stage and across. Over here, they had old theater seats, kind of like what you go down here, the Rat Palace, and or Capitol. Hasn't been called the Rat Palace in years, right? Old hard plywood seats. And in the very back, you got 2x8 benches. And they come and they fill that place every Sunday. And you know why? Because they love God. They love God. How they built that place is beyond me. they built it attached to a house. And they don't have big lots. Just usually about a lot big enough to have a small garden. Right next door, they had a men's homeless shelter. And all the men are required to go out and help in the garden. Imagine that. Not in America. Let's take away his pride, his self-esteem. Make him a welfare recipient instead of saying, you know, here's a garden. You can grow the food. They had a little pig. Go figure. But anyhow, the gospel goes to those places, and it's because of that. I mean, yeah, I hope you're paying attention and to what's going on there. It's not a good situation. These people, innocent people, are caught in a crossfire of two ideologies. And by the way, I'll throw this out there for you. Russia has to climb back up. If you ain't been paying attention to Bible prophecy, the bear from the north, there's only one country ever been related to as a bear, and that is Russia. Russia will climb back up, and the United States does have to stand down. There ain't a person in this world who are now afraid of the United States. Has to happen. I hate seeing it happen. But it has to happen. Because when Russia and the OPEC nations who hate Israel decide they're going to take and eliminate Israel, not because of the great discoveries they've made in growing food in the middle of a desert, out of sheer hatred. That's the only reason they're going to attack. And the only reason Russia's going to come down is because these oil nations are going to say, you're the only one who can stand up to the United States. We can't. And they'll come in, and God is going to do something. Oh, my goodness, people. We aren't going to be able to sit back and say, oh, yeah, United States, we did that. Hoorah, yeah, hoorah, yeah, we did that. When Israel's enemies come in to decimate her, God's going to stand up and say, gotcha. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your abounding love that flows from Christ to us. Lord, I pray now that all of our words would be laced with the love of God. That, Father, that people could hear, they could see your love flowing in our lives. Lord, I know that sometimes it gets difficult not being critical and judgmental, but help us to keep our mouths shut and to realize we can't control each other and that it's not our job to change anybody. It's your job. So, Father, I thank you that you're helping every last one of us overcome the obstacles that so easily beset us. And Lord, I thank you now that as these people go about their week, Father, first and foremost, they will remember that Thanksgiving is about giving thanks, not getting deals in the store. Lord, help us all to remember to be grateful and to celebrate with thanksgiving and not get caught up in commercialism and greed. And Lord, I bless these people now as they go about this week, as they go to their families. Lord, I bless these times of fellowship. Pray for peace and love to flow in Jesus' name. Amen.